the worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best or funny. Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast. Hey, Christine. Welcome to Work As... Wait. Hey, good.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast.
You need to do your... you need to do more tongue twisters in the morning to get ready.
It's noon here.
All right. Well, then you should have done like 14 by now. We are again via satellite, but today...
Via satellite.
I am looking at your face via the interwebs.
Yes, because it's just...
This is kind of cool.
It's easy to do it this way. That way you guys can see when I'm talking and I can get a word in edgewise.
Well, that's the sort of downside for me. But I like that you're still wearing that hat that you stole off a man when you were drunk.
Because today Mueller... well, it's true. Because Mueller made a statement today. So I put it on.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
But wait, that's not like a Mueller hat. Mueller is like a different thing. It just happens to say Mueller.
No, it's like a steel company, but I got it because it's the same spelling.
Oh, okay. what city were you in when you got that? When you stole
Dallas,
that?
Dallas, Texas at the Anatol. I was at the bar drinking and I looked at the guy and I said, hey, where'd you get that hat? He goes, it's a company I work for. We're here for a conference. And I go, how much? He's like, what? And I go, how much to take it off your head? He's like, $40. I go, here.
$40. I love that he came up with a number. $40.
Yeah. Immediately.
That's crazy.
$40.
All right.
So good.
I want to get to our guest today back for the third time, people. That's
right. I know.
We have the hilarious and talented Alana Ubach. Alana.
Hi.
She's here, everyone.
Hi. Very excited to be here. I'm so glad you guys gave me a third chance because I am so embarrassed of the fact that I was like constantly masticating during the last podcast my nicotine gum because I have an addiction and I'm going to just shout it out right there. I love my nicotine gum, but I am not chewing it at this moment and nor will I chew it throughout the rest of the podcast. So my apologies. Won't happen again.
I love that you don't say you have an addiction to smoking. You have an addiction to nicotine gum.
Nicotine gum.
You don't smoke? I don't understand.
Did you ever smoke?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember you smoking.
Oh, yeah. I was like a closet one.
Oh, okay.
And then I ended up having, I had this gumball machine. So anytime I wanted to quit, I would just pop, you know, a piece of gum in my mouth. And then, you know, lo and behold, my 30s, I quit and then I started up again and then I get pregnant.
Right.
And then I start chewing gum during my pregnancy and now I have to get a root canal later on today.
Because of the damn gum.
Because of the damn gum. I was like, oh no, sugar free. It's bad for the baby. So that was my logic. And meanwhile, I have I have yuck mouth. It's terrible.
Do you have a Sonicare? Or just a regular toothbrush?
I have a Sonicare. I floss when I'm in heavy traffic, right? Which is all the time when you're leaving Los Angeles.
Oh, you floss in traffic?
I floss in traffic.
Oh my God, that's so smart.
It's
amazing. I hate flossing, but I also hate traffic. So I feel like, why not just combine them?
Well, I got very used to it when I was pregnant because the first thing that my OB recommended was, he's like, you've got to floss. You have to watch your choppers because you can't get a root canal while you're pregnant. You can't get a cavity filled.
Right.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
How are your boobs, by the way? I want to talk about tits right now.
Oh God. When I say eggplants to apples, it's not even, it's like, they're just, I mean, I don't even
two
feel
empty
like
wallets?
There's anything. Yes. Two empty pockets.
Two empty change purses.
Don't you hate it?
You know,
what's wrong with your breasts?
Our children ate our tits.
Our children ate our boobs.
Are you guys both done breastfeeding?
Oh, yeah. Come on. It is so overrated.
Come on. I tried. You know, I tried. I did all the things. I was drinking the fennel teas and the pills and having the beer and the barleys. And 4 months. I could only go 4 months this time.
You know what? I'm telling you, the whole Lucha Libre Lucha Baboom. That's it. The Lucha Baboom ladies. That are, I mean, they come knocking on your door. The moment they find, I think what happens is that like the streamlining of like HALA orders and Amazon formula orders, like basically come to them. They're like, oh, wow. Okay.
We got to get over there.
We got to get over there right
What's
away.
Happening?
Knock on her door and tell her that.
Pull her tits out.
Boob is best. Well,
Alana, how long did you go?
I went for 9 months.
That's incredible.
I went for 9 months.
That's and really good.
You know what? Thank you. But I mean, I remember I had really, my boobs were like my best feature.
Yeah.
I was so excited to get naked in front of someone, you know? And now I'm like, well, hold on there.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my shirt on.
I feel the same way.
Honey.
Do you think you might have a lift or something when in a little while?
You know what? I look, to each his own.
I think they still look really good. I mean, I don't know what you got going on under there.
Are we filming? Can anyone see us?
No one can see us.
I'm going to show you guys. They're not bad. They're not bad.
You're great. What are you talking about? Your boobs are excellent.
Thank you. But I'll tell you something.
Those are not sacks of sand.
Well, they're
those are not empty pockets.
You know what? Coming from you, I know you'd tell me the truth.
I would.
Would you say, okay, let's pretend they were just down to here. You'd be like, oh, okay.
I'd be like, all right. Okay, well, they were probably higher at one point.
It's a good thing you're a character actress.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a good thing I play the best friend. If I was a lead in movies, I might consider a lift. But I think I'd look like a joke.
Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't good. It's not you're like enhancing them. You're just lifting them a little.
I don't think she needs it.
It's funny when they were up to my neck when I was like in my, when I was 17, 18, I hated them. I couldn't wait for them to droop. And now they're drooping and I want them back up to my neck. You're never satisfied as a woman.
I will say I don't like the naked look anymore, but the one positive thing with my new physique now is that I don't really have to wear a bra and I kind of like that look.
That's gorgeous.
You know what
Christine,
I mean?
Christine, you're very European.
You're tiny.
You know, for an Americana gal, I've always thought of you as, if I had my druthers, I'd say you may have been European in your past life.
Oh my God, that's like such a nice, I
like
love
a French that. French chick, chain smoking with your glass of wine, a lot of jingle jangle bracelets.
Yeah, a lot of jingles.
Owning a boutique in Cannes.
Yes.
And just like, you know, having sex with everything that moves and just being
for
cool.
Sure. Oh, I love that. Right? That's very me in a past life.
Yeah.
Alana, do you wear the chicken cutlets?
Well, I have a story about that.
Okay.
I ordered some chicken cutlets on Amazon. And
we're talking about boob enhancement.
Boob enhancement.
Things
but they
put,
look like chicken cutlets.
Not, you're right. Not chicken actual cutlet. Chicken. Okay.
So there's the Legally Blonde. Legally Blonde was showing at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery last Saturday. And it was like 4,000 people. And I had to get up and with the rest of the cast members, introduce the movie. So
amazing.
I thought, I need to wear my chicken cutlets.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I put in my chicken cutlets and a couple of tequila shots later, I mean, one of them was like missing.
Oh no.
It I couldn't understand like where could it have gone, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sort of walking around and I was like, I'm just gonna go to the bathroom. So of course I pull up my blouse and it had fallen through my bra. And thank God I had my blouse tucked in. But it was just sort of hanging by my belly button. And I grabbed it real quick and put it back in. Went on stage, you know, said something ridiculous, and then the movie was about to begin. We're sitting there, and we go back to Kiwi's house, Karen and Kiwi, the writers.
Yeah.
We go back to Kiwi's house, and we're just having a really good time, and they said, Alana, how are you? I was like, good, you know, I'm wearing chicken cutlets right now because I'm really insecure about my boobs. They were like, oh, just show us your boobs, Alana. And I showed them. They're like, you don't need those cutlets. And I was like, you're damn straight I don't. And I grabbed the chicken cutlets and just threw him on her chopper block, and the rest is history. So, Kiwi, I want you to frame those chicken cutlets, girl, or feed them to the dogs or something.
So, at this like screening or whatever it was,
yes,
was Reese there?
Reese is like the Wizard of Oz. Reese actually, she is so hard to find that if you do find her, if you do see her, it it's like when I, back in the 80s, when I would run into Gary Coleman, I don't know about you guys, but I get good luck for like 2 weeks. So she's like a little leprechaun. If you see Reese Witherspoon, you will get good luck for like 2 weeks. No, I have not seen her. I don't have her cell phone number. I'm pretty sure she was afraid to give it to me because she'd probably assume I would stalk her. But I've worked on 3 films with her, and she's so adorable. But look, she's there when the cameras are rolling and we have a call time, and that's when she's there. She's busy.
That's what I'm getting at. How she does all the things she does. She has a doppelganger. Many projects.
I know.
Every time I see her, it's like she's got her Draper James. She's got her book club. She's got Big Little Lies. She's got this new show with Jennifer Aniston. She's got the reboot of the Legally Blonde. Now, what's happening with that?
I think she has, you know what? I think Reese Witherspoon has a double or a couple
she's
of other.
She's got to.
She has, you know what? We should sign up for that shit because we are her height.
Oh, I know.
If
I only had her hair.
We're effing midgets and we're going to like work it.
Well, you are from Atlanta, Christine.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, Christine, I could definitely.
Reps should get in touch with her and say, if she needs a double.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm all about it.
But yeah, she's very, 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 very busy. To pin her down and actually set the right dates for LB3, I mean, you know, it would be amazing if that happens. Yeah. So it's in the works. We'll see.
They're working on the script?
Yes, I think Great. So. I believe so.
Well, yes. I saw the pic that you posted the other day with the two of them. That's so exciting. Yes.
So
was that from the Synespia event?
Okay. Yes. Okay. It was from that. Man, that was a good time. I'm still drunk from Saturday.
So is your new drink, like, I don't know, after you have kids, I feel like all the tolerances for things go down. One, because you're having to get up so early.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. And two.
You can't afford to be hungover,
no,
man.
No, you can't.
It puts you out for like 3 days.
Yeah, it's terrible. And I just don't feel like I process liquor in the same way that I used to, probably because I don't drink as much anymore. But
we don't.
We don't. Hello.
Yeah.
Me and Alana don't. Do not insert yourself into this conversation. Well,
I'm going to insert it because here's my new thing is just day drinking.
Yeah.
You like to day drink.
I day drink.
Oh, yeah, because you're hungover by 8 at night.
Right, and then you go to bed.
Yeah, and you go to bed and you wake up normal, everything's fine.
Right.
That's a day drinking. I'm a lady who lunches. That's it.
That's very smart.
It's a little hard to day drink with a toddler. To makes it more difficult.
Hey, I think now it's the sugar in the wine. Red wine, that's it. Forget it with me. But, you know, after 2 glasses of wine, I'm starting to embellish. I make an ass out of myself. I always make an ass out of myself when I'm drunk. So I have to kind of curb it if I'm in front of people who I've worked with or what have you. But man, when we were doing Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Yeah, baby! It was a sorority house! Woo!
We were having a good time.
Don't you think that's also part of being on location, too? Because you want to go do something and you don't, you know, you're not in your normal.
You got a couple days off in between and you're like, what the hell else am I going to do? I got per diem.
What else am I going to do? Yeah.
I'm going to go blow it on this bottle of wine.
And then you have like friends coming in from out of town. So it's always like going out to dinner and like the wine with dinner and this and that. But yeah, since I've had my little guy, I mean, yeah, I've had to, you got to curb everything.
Got to curb everything. My new
How old is he now?
He's going to be 2 July 25th.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's going to be 2 July 25th. He's, I does he watch a little too much TV? Yeah. But you know what? One thing that every child is different. The TV was my babysitter growing up. I turned
Mine
out
too.
Fine.
I love TV.
Okay. We turned out fine. So I'm not going to be, you know, one of those, okay, only 30 minutes of screen time or no TV whatsoever. That's fine for your kid. But for me, I really learned about how important the imagination is and how important, how emotional investment is in the people you love. And he's kind of interested in that. Like he was watching Shrek last night and Shrek gets captured by all of the knights. And he's like, oh no, mama. And, you know, sort of ran into my arms. I was like, he cares about that little green freak. Yeah. And that's something.
I mean, I really tried with Georgia in that first year to not, like, you know, by about a year, I was like, we got to do Sesame Street. We got to do something. Mama needs 20 minutes for the love of God.
Right.
But with the second baby, it's impossible. I have a 3-year-old. And I mean, yeah. The amount of Frozen that we watch a week is insane.
And she watches it on a loop.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. She just, and I, you know, I try to curb it at about like 45 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
You know, okay, let's stop it. Let's start it up again in a little while. Let's go do something else, whatever. But I mean, he's around. I can't, like, what? It's too hard. I don't know how people that have like 8 kids, it's like they're not limiting the screen time. It's got to just be on all the time.
I'd have that running on a loop for 24 hours.
When we were kids, we didn't have the shows and the amount of entertainment that kids have now. Like I remember like waiting to watch Reading Rainbow.
Yeah, or, I know. You know,
Betty Hill. Like, you know, I grew up on Betty Hill.
I grew up on All in the Family. Yes. I grew up on the Jeffersons.
Wait till your father gets home. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Wait, I love that. Speaking I like the Muppet Show, The Young Ones on MTV, that British show.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, that's what I remember watching The Young Ones, and it was like this punk rock, like it made fun of sitcoms, the formula of sitcoms. It would sometimes cut to a band, like a crazy punk rock band, and then it would go back to these roommates living in Britain, and it was a punk rocker named Vivian, this hippie named Neil, and then Rick. And they were all just pigs living together. And I thought, oh my God, I want to do that when I grow up. Like I want to be that, you know.
What's your son's name?
Thomas, after his dad and after his grandfather's late grandfather.
So is he bilingual? Does he speak Spanish and English?
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, I'm not fluent in Spanish. I mean, I can fake it. Until I'm blue in the face, but
isn't your husband a music?
He's an Italian from Cleveland.
Oh, hilarious!
I mean, he fell into the Latin music industry because he had worked on Diamonds and Pearls. Diamonds and Pearls, the Prince album.
Prince. What?
Yes.
Because I give you diamonds and pearls.
Ding, get off to.
What did he do on that?
Well, he helped produce that album.
That's incredible. That's one of my favorite albums of all time.
The engineering, the mixing. And so the Latin artists had heard that record and they loved the sound.
Yeah.
They loved the sound and the beat to it. And so they like, who's the guy that did that? And so, like, just one after another, it became like, a Latin record recording. And he's like, how the hell did I get here? But he can actually understand it more than I can. It's interesting. But speaking fluently in front of the kid, look, he just started recently putting sentences together. And that sort of, I thought, wow, maybe I should start speaking Spanish to him when he can really understand, you know, full-fledged sentences. Like when he's 5, maybe we'll start throwing things in.
Are you doing nannies at all?
What, sweetheart?
Are you doing nannies at all?
Yes. He has...
She's got the nanny, remember? The nanny has her own kids, and they take him to the fair.
Yes. Yeah, that's Bridget. God, good memory. My gosh. He's with Bridget right now.
Right.
Bridget is... a godsend. She is not.
She's hot.
She does not. Bridget is hot. She does not speak Spanish, though. But, you know, there's something called City Kids that's out here in LA, and it's full Spanish immersion. But my God, it's like $782,000 a month.
Oh,
and I can't afford that.
That's crazy.
No, you gotta fire Bridget and hire an illegal. Well,
do they even exist anymore?
Well, I don't know, but in the 70s and the 80s, that's what my parents did. We called her Tia, and she was my aunt, and she lived in the house with us, and she pretty much raised us.
So solamente el español en la casa.
Ask her in Spanish, because if we wanted to eat or drink or anything, we had to ask her in Spanish, because she didn't speak English.
Wow.
So we grew up as Spanish as a second language, really more than English at first, and then my sister spoke fluent Spanish and then had to learn English.
Wow.
So do you remember any of it?
I understand Spanish perfect. I just don't speak it correctly.
No way, Allah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
You look Spaniard. You look like a Spaniard. European Spanish.
Yeah, well, because I'm Middle Eastern, and there's a lot of, I guess there's a lot of, and my great-
Iberian.
And my great grandmother is full-time, is full Cuban.
There you go.
Yeah, so there's a little bit in me.
Oh yeah, for sure. I would either say Greek or like Iberian. Have you taken a 24? You're in me. You and my vagina. What is that thing that you do with the blood?
I have the semen testing. I have one of the tests here that I haven't taken yet, but I have to, because I have to set it all up, and it seems like a lot of work. But I have.
Okay.
Let me ask you: are you so you're in Atlanta? Still,
yes.
How much longer are you going to be there?
I think until like the last week of June.
Now, what are you doing out there?
So Alyssa's shooting Insatiable for Netflix.
Oh, fun.
And I'm just hanging out, really, because she won't let me leave her side. So she's actually in New York right now. I was supposed to go to New York today, like I told you.
I wish I could espouse Alyssa Milano. I really do. Yeah. I'd like to espouse her. I'd like to Alyssa her Milano. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I would love for you guys to work together because you would have so much fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Man, that girl is a beautiful woman. She has, talk about someone who's aged very gracefully.
Oh, yes.
Right? You know, I'm just saying. A lot of us have
decided to, like, you know, really go overboard with the fillers and the this and the that.
But the people that let themselves age gracefully, like I was watching Amanda Peet in the Romanoffs. I was like, look at that. She just decided nothing. And it's so refreshing.
Have you had any work done, Alana?
Have I had any work done?
Yeah.
Well, I tried Botox, okay? Uh-huh. And I had one eyebrow up for about 6 months.
Oh, Mm-hmm.
So I'm not exactly a candidate, but I have had microneedling and PRP, and that is fantastic.
What's PRP?
They literally get like a little bit of your blood, right, and they spin it.
Okay.
So that all the nutrients from your own blood is basically re-injected in you, and it promotes a lot of collagen production. So it's not like some kind of artificial
filler. And they put it
Where do they do that at? In your face?
Wherever you feel like you're a little too dry, you know, I put
like
it
your
in
vagina?
The labial float in my vagina, around my chin. This is where the women in my family age, all around the chin or all around here, right? And so that was where they injected it. And I feel damn good. It feels good.
Yeah.
I mean, I can move my face and I'm very proud of that.
Yes. I hate needles. That's my only thing. Like,
but you live on Botox.
You tried it.
I know. I don't live on it, but I've had it. Yes.
You've had what?
Botox.
You've had Botox.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, everyone has, you know?
But the thing, and I know what you're talking about with the eyebrow.
Oh, my God. I'd scare the shit out of me.
But you got to go back. See, if that happens, you have to go back in because they have to do a different muscle.
I was afraid because I thought, obviously, this mother effer doesn't know what the hell he is doing. I'm not going to go back to these people. And I was like this forever. And I just kind of fixed my hair so my eyebrow wouldn't show. I still worked. They just shot me from the left profile all the time and it was fine. But my God, that's scary, man.
Yeah, I don't.
Never again.
I don't like needles at all. So I've looked into the microneedling thing and every time I read about it, I start to get that weird, sick, queasy feeling.
It hurts.
Does it? Oh, I don't.
It really hurts.
I really can't do anything that's going to hurt.
Chat amongst yourselves.
She's got to pee.
What happened?
She's peeing.
Okay.
Give us the tour. Oh, nope, never mind.
It's frozen.
A pee break, too, or something.
No, I didn't. I just was checking an email.
Sure.
But you guys are frozen, by the way.
Are you sure?
Are we?
Yeah, I mean, on my end, you're frozen.
So nice there. Is it hot yet? It's hot, right? It's in the 80s.
Fucking It's 90s.
80s. Oh, it is?
Ugh. My whole back is sunburnt.
You guys? Yeah. You stopped talking.
No, he froze.
Oh,
and then now he's
timing.
Showing us his apartment. It's so nice there.
Yeah,
but it's hot
beautiful.
As hell in Atlanta.
Do you have AC? Of course you have AC.
Yes. Are you crazy?
Put an ice cube in there.
I've had this orchid since the day we moved here.
I can't believe it's still. See, I think orchids just do better in the South. It's humid. Every orchid I've ever had, people keep bringing them to me and they keep dying.
Hothouse flowers. They're very delicate.
Very delicate. Very delicate.
I'm really good with the orchids.
That's amazing.
All you do is put ice cubes in them. You don't do anything else?
That's it. I do it like every 4 weeks. I put like 5 ice cubes. That's it.
Every 4 weeks, 5 ice cubes? That's a lot.
It's like dating a really famous person. You know, you every 5 weeks you can text them like, hey, right. I'm checking in. You know what I mean? That's all they need. But you got to reject them the rest of the month. Otherwise,
who's the most famous person you've dated?
The most famous person I've dated?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Say it.
Let's fall down the rabbit hole.
It's fine. It's all
Jamie
in the past.
Jamie Kennedy. Oh, he was fun.
Jamie Kennedy
MTV?
From
MTV?
Jamie Kennedy from the Jamie Kennedy Experiment. Yeah. I dated him during that time. Woo! Ooh. Ow! And he was fun. We just laughed so much.
That's awesome.
He was so much fun. I dated Seth Green when I was just a kid, like back during the Watergate scandal. That's when we met.
Oh my God.
I love Seth. He's so great.
Yeah. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. And I have not seen him in like 83 years.
Are you the same height?
Gorgeous wife.
Yes.
She's just, what a.
She's gorgeous.
Good looking.
I know.
Anyway.
I've met Seth a couple times and he's a really nice guy. And I really like that he was just like just a little bit taller than me.
Yeah, he's like 5'4" and a half.
Yeah, he's tiny.
Yeah, and I don't remember. It's so funny. I, as an adult woman, I have to run into him again to understand how slight he is.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because we were just teenagers.
Yeah.
And it's just fab. Anyway, I ran into his wife one time. And she was just lovely. And we just sat and just, you know, women are cool.
Yeah.
But it's funny when men run into each other and they haven't seen each other in a long time, do you feel the sort of like they're judging? Hey, what have you been up to, man? What are you working on
right,
now?
Right,
what are you doing?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
all
keeping
that. They
tabs
always whip
a little bit.
Their dinguses out and they compare and it's interesting.
Do you ever think like if you run into, you know, an ex-boyfriend and is now his like his wife or his new girlfriend, does the thought ever cross your mind as you're standing there and you're doing your pleasantries and you're chit-chatting, oh my God, we've both slept with him. Does that ever like cross your mind? We both know what that person's penis looks like.
Like 3 nights later when I'm drunk. I'm like, oh my God, like he put his penis in her and me. That's so weird. I mean, but we're human beings, we're animals. You can't help but think about things like that, right?
Just dumb thoughts.
You know, it's funny. I have ran into like ex-girlfriends of my husband and they're just giving me the once over.
Oh,
and it's
really?
Really interesting. They're looking at like, you know, my hair. You know, if there's any gray in there, I'm like, oh, they're looking at my roots. They want to know if I see what they're doing. Okay. Oh, look at them looking down at my tits. Wow. Okay. I'm going to turn around and they're going to see that. Yes, I do have a very flat ass. It's just a line with a hole, but I won.
Does your husband have a type when you meet like your exes? The exes? Are you like, oh God, they're all like versions of
they're
me.
All short.
They're just all short.
My husband is short. I mean, okay. You know, he's like maybe 5'6" in a confident day with lips, with Cuban heels. He's 5'7" maybe. And all of his women in the past were Lilliputian.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. It's going to happen.
All right. So Seth Green, Jamie Kennedy.
Who else? Gosh, there was that guy at the club. No, he wasn't famous. There was that. Well, he said he was famous in Iran. Mehran.
In Iran?
Yeah. He said he was famous in Iran. And I was just like, wow, for the sport of it, let's do it. Let's have some fun.
I'm famous in Iran.
You are famous in Iran. Did we sleep together, Allah?
Possibly.
Probably.
During the Sister Act days.
We probably did. You know, and then after that, let me see. Eric Amadio. Do people call Amadio? Amadeo? Eric Amadio. He is the producer of Snowfall.
Oh.
He was my first boyfriend. In Downey when we were growing up. And great kisser. I still remember.
You know, when I was younger and, you know, working and stuff, it would never fail that if you were in your 20s, even your early 30s, and you were doing a movie, and especially if it was location, there were showmances happening everywhere. Yeah. I mean, it was almost like you knew that wasn't something that you should be doing, but you just couldn't help yourself.
Sure.
And then
life is a smorgasbord.
Life is a smorgasbord.
A lot of people are starving.
Yeah, but that was also during the time of no social media. So
that's
like,
true.
Yeah. No. You could be naughty and get away with it and stuff like that. But,
and then, like, well, you know, the movie was going to end in a couple weeks.
You could also not get jealous because you won't know what they're really doing or who they're really hanging out with or vice versa. You know, it's just, because that's the first thing people do now is they Google and they look up their Instagrams or their social media to see what they're up to.
Social media makes me feel like I have a parent watching over me 24 hours a day. That's the one thing I hate about social media. You have a parent around all the freaking time. And it's hard. It's very weird because I'm older and I can only imagine being like, you know, 21, 22 year old and just being watched over and judged all the time.
The thing that's, it's hard. And if you put yourself out there and you've got opinions about something and you're like, look, this is not cool or this is what's happening in this world or I think, you know, blah, blah, blah. You just have to be prepared that not everyone's going to share your opinion and that's fine. But a lot of people aren't going to be respectful or nice about it at all.
Because they're...
And that's just the way the world is.
Well, they're,
you know,
given room to not be, to be disrespectful because they can hide behind a screen and they can hide... But if they were... Now, if we were in a room and I said, Christine has this opinion about something, does everyone agree? Everyone would agree with you.
Yeah, right. Or at least not say anything.
And not say a thing. And that's, you know, that's...
But yeah, the judgment... Well,
I deal with that with Alyssa all the time.
Of course.
I mean, she's very active and outspoken. And then, you know, it's crazy because, you know, we're in Georgia.
Yeah.
And
you're getting in fights.
We're getting in fights. But it's funny because there was a point where I was like, oh, we might have to have security, you know, with us.
God, no way.
Well, yeah, because she's so outspoken and, you know. And then I was like, nah, because everyone's so fake in person. You're absolutely right. In person, everyone's like, can I have a picture? Or they're all nice.
And then, what is fake? Fake is fear. Fake is fear-based because obviously what she has done has been very groundbreaking and it's a threat to people. She's threatening. And what does that do? That makes people very afraid. So when they're in person, I mean, they just don't know what to do. Very few people can be outspoken in public and that's what she's done.
Yeah. And she's made it okay for other people to have an opinion
and
come forward. Let me ask you this, Alag. I'm curious. Because, you know, I read something that she put out there the other day that I thought was really profound. And it was like, she said something like she's equal parts. It was something about being like completely fearless. And then the other part of her is like incredibly insecure, vulnerable about the things she's doing. She's like, it's crazy. I feel the same way. You know, sometimes I'm just so fearless, but then the other part of me is like very vulnerable. And I'm sure, does she ever read comments or like, is there ever a moment where she's just like, oh, I can't, I want to be outspoken, but like all these comments are getting me down, people's judgments, or is she just like, fuck that noise?
I hope she doesn't read those comments.
She doesn't read the comments. Yeah. I mean, I've read the comments and I'm going, holy shit. But no, she doesn't, if she does, she hasn't told me. If it bothers her, she hasn't told me. I'm sure she reads some of them, but you have to also understand that she's in the internet world, like, she's really into it and she understands social media completely and the tweeting and, you know, whatever. A lot of them are bots.
Oh, wow. No way. I didn't know that was possible.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, like, so if there's an organization, let's say, okay, say it's a Trump organization or a very Republican organization, they create bots all the time to go to fire away at celebrities or other political people that are against their views. It happens all the time.
No
and
way.
She knows that. She's aware of it. It's a whole system. A lot of wow. them, now I'm not saying that some of them aren't real, but for the most part, a lot of them are fake. They're
but
bots.
A lot of those, I'm sure the ones that even are real are glomming on to the stuff that the bots are saying. You know what I mean? It's giving them like, oh, that person thinks.
Fuel to the fire. Yeah. Well, whoa,
right.
You
so
guys.
That whole Facebook thing with like the whole Facebook thing with the Russians and right. all that was all propaganda that was to yes. get voters to think, you know, the way they want them to think.
Yeah. Right, 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 right.
So she's aware of that. So it's, yeah. I think it probably bothers me more than anything. Like I want to just like stand up and hurt somebody, but I'm the one that's, you know.
Yeah. My husband is the same way. I mean, he gets really like defensive of me. And, you know, if I put anything out there that's even like slightly controversial, which I don't generally, but sometimes I cannot control my mouth. And he is like, he's like, all right, what are people saying now about my wife? You know, he gets on
sure.
there and I'm like, honey, just don't even get involved. Like it makes it worse almost.
Well, at our age, it's all about, you know, your political opinions or your opinion about something. But when I think of all the young kids that are out there just taking selfies of themselves and, you know, they're with their boyfriends, they're at a fair, they're having a good time. And
right.
it's like, you look fat or
right.
you know, you're an idiot. No one likes you. You're gay.
Right.
And it's what Euphoria is about, the show that I'm
yes, let's talk about that.
Hold on. But real yeah. quick before we do that, I was going to say also is we had all, and I got this quote last night from Lisa Rinna on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Of course.
But
yes.
she said, Lisa, all we had was mirrors. And now kids today, they have like all this social media where they're forced to be judged. Where with us, we just, either our friends judged us or whatever in person, or it was ourselves judging ourselves in a mirror. We didn't have that kind of influence.
But let me say this about that. You don't have to be on social media. It is not a requirement of world. It is a choice. So it is of my opinion that if it makes you feel bad about yourself, it's your opportunity. It is your decision to remove yourself from that noise. But the fact of the matter is, I think too many people are perversely curious.
That's it.
At what other people think about them.
That's just it.
But also, Christine, you say that and be a teenager in this day and age.
No, of course. But that's going to be the same thing I say to my daughter. And I don't know what it's going to be like in another 10 years. It'll be like completely different.
Might be simplified. I don't know.
But I'm just going to always tell her, like, when something's making you feel bad, it's your responsibility to change, make a new choice. Make a new choice that benefits you.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because we all have to be responsible for our own well-being. And that's like point blank,
right.
period, end.
And
well, thank
yeah.
God you're not raising my children.
Look, I mean, yeah, it's a breeding ground for narcissism and showing off.
Absolutely. And it's gotten, I think actually the narcissism is getting worse because everybody
really
thinks they're
bad,
a model
boy.
Or an influencer. That, you know, it's like, come on.
I mean, look at Olivia Jane.
Who's that?
What's her name?
Lori Loughlin's daughter.
Daughter, yeah. Is it Olivia Jane? I think it is. Or
I love that we don't. I don't know, and I don't care.
Anyway, so she's, you know, she. I mean, you got to check out her social media. It's amazing.
Is that Laura Loughlin's daughter?
Yes, the one that was on the fake crew. Well, she was on the. She was a fake member of the crew team.
That's so good. That is such a fun John Hughes campy movie.
It really
is. She had like millions of dollars of endorsements from like Sephora and because of her YouTube vlogging.
Oh my gosh.
And like, oh, it's amazing.
That's
you should
so
see
good.
That like her first week of college, she's like, yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do the school thing because I'm supposed to go do a gig in the Bahamas and blah, blah, blah. I was like, what is happening right now?
But I'll talk to my dean because you guys all know that I really don't care about classes and stuff. And
yeah, that's what, yeah. It's
and
amazing.
By the way,
so good.
That's fine. She can be that person, but she just shouldn't have gone to college.
Yeah. No, she didn't.
She didn't want to go to college.
Right, exactly. That's the whole point. But that's her parents' fault. That's all her parents' fault.
But I you know, it's girls like that that then, you know, girls in very sleepy, boring towns say, I can be her.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I can do that. It doesn't take Correct. Much.
Right.
It just takes, you know, a couple of trips to Sephora.
Correct.
And, you know, going on YouTube and learning how to do that cute little messy bun and putting the lip liner over your lip line and putting something really glossy in between and just saying, talking about anything.
Yeah.
And that's it. There's a, so what's really interesting, what I find is wild, is that it, obviously we just think it's going on in America. It's going on everywhere.
Sure.
So in Israel, they're, you know, they comment a lot on what's going on in television. Their shows are like 10 steps ahead of us.
We keep getting their IPs.
Yeah, there you go.
There are so many shows that are Israeli that have come over here and been like revamped, but they're originally started there.
They're so cutting edge. And a lot of people don't know that, right?
That's interesting.
I didn't
know. It reminds me of Britain.
That, right,
you know, all of their shows tend to be very, they're not exactly catering to, or they're not similar to Mexico and the United States, whereas primetime is catering to the churchgoers, the conservatives, the elderlies, right? You don't want to ruffle a lot of feathers. You just want to make it fun enough for everyone to enjoy.
Right.
But, you know, in Israel and Britain and on cable shows out here, people have something to say.
Right.
And so the show that I'm doing, Euphoria, is based on a show from Israel.
Oh, so, interesting. Okay.
Sam Levinson, who is Barry Levinson's son.
Yes.
He decided to make it autobiographical. So basically, our lead, Rue, played by Zendaya, tomato, tomato, is basically a girl who's struggling with some kind of chemical imbalance, and she's addicted to everything, anything she can get her hands on.
Mm-hmm.
And while her friends are trying to find their identities through social media, it's just an SHIT show. It gets really out of hand and crazy because, you know, all what goes on behind closed doors, what goes on in these sleepy small towns, you know, there's a lot of sex and violence. And now all of that can get posted and put online for everyone's friends to enjoy.
Right.
And that's something that gets really crazy because one weird move from, like, you know, everyone used to know, oh, you know, Stacey was the high school slut, but we never had any proof.
Exactly. Right.
And now these kids can just film everything just pull out their phones and whip them out and film themselves having sex, film themselves getting, you know, whatever, and posting it. And those lives are ruined.
Yeah. You don't have any room to explore, make a mistake. Yeah. Right.
Or any room for intimacy, real intimacy.
Yeah.
It's all about showing. It's the Truman Show. It's showing everything that you're doing all the time. It's there's no connection. I mean, have you ever tried to like have a conversation with a millennial like on the subway?
Oh,
it's fascinating.
Yes, I've actually had a couple of people in my life who are millennials and some who are not, who are older, who are addicted to social media that like they can't put their phone down. They have to check it I'm like, what are you checking? Are you on call? Are you a doctor? And I didn't know it. What are you looking at? What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like put your damn phone down. I actually wish I mean, in a perfect world, and now it's like we're so tied to our devices because of it's the easiest way for someone to reach you to whatever. It's like if I were to have a girls' trip, I just want everybody to put their damn phone in a box. And like, let's just get back to like hanging out. We don't need our phones to entertain us. It's not how it used to be. And I feel like I don't know. There's definitely an addiction to it. And there is a proven algorithm to many of Facebook, specifically, that makes people go back and continue to check their old posts to wonder who's commented and who's liked it. And there's, it's almost like a, like a slot machine.
Wow. Yes. No, it is the slot machines in Vegas.
Yeah.
That's what that iPhone is. It's ding, 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 three cherries if someone has texted you back.
Or if someone's commented or you get a note. I turn off all my notifications for anything that's not like very important.
If someone has sent you a direct message.
I don't, it's like I don't see, sometimes I don't see it for days.
Yeah. That was crazy.
But because it's
too
much.
Is that why you don't return my texts a lot?
Yeah, that's normally why. Well, you're blocked. I've blocked you. Wait, I want to get back to Euphoria for a second. So when does it come out?
Okay, so Euphoria comes out, I believe it's June 16th on HBO, and it's starring Zendaya, and she plays our lead character, Rue, and there are a lot of really fun characters in this. Mon Appétit and Sydney Sweeney. They're remarkable actresses. They play my daughters. I play this character, Suze, who's a single mom and a bit of a drunk and very, you know, battles depression. And my daughter, one daughter is sort of looking for love in all the wrong places. And the other one is just a very kind of an awkward teen. And they're both very good friends with Zendaya and stuff. So it's
that's awesome.
It's a really crazy, wild show. It's not for the faint at heart.
Faint at heart.
It's not for the faints of heart. And it's
faint of heart.
Thank you. It's not for the faint of heart, but it's very much along the lines of Trainspotting.
Yeah. Oh wow.
As far as the way it's shot, as far as the way it goes, it's Sam has written every single episode. It's a masterpiece. I'm very proud of it.
That's really, and it's 8 episodes.
Yes.
8 episodes on HBO. Yes. I can't wait. I've been looking at the trailers. It looks fantastic. I've been seeing the trailers, of course, every time I was watching the end of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
It was coming on, and Barry was my other one. I just finished the second season of Barry. Also Barry. Really, really good. But I love her. I shadowed, because you know, we talked about this, I've been getting into directing.
Yeah.
So about 3 years ago, I was doing as many shadows as I could because I was like, you know what? I just need to get as much experience and sit on set and just try to rack up as many hours. So when I go in for meetings, people, when they ask me, well, what have you shadowed? I have an answer.
Yeah.
So I had a mentor for many years named Joel Zwick. He's like a legend in the TV business. He used to direct a bunch of Step by Steps. Anyway, he was doing Casey Undercover. So Zendaya she's a lead on that show. It's a Disney show. Yeah. So I got to sit on set for a week and, you know, watch what they did and just watch her work. And she was an executive producer on the show as well. And very young girl.
She's a kid.
And I was so impressed by her level of maturity and professionalism. She was so young. She was like, you know, in on all of these meetings, these production meetings, just watching her on set. I just was like, man, this girl is, and obviously she's a big star.
Huge. She's a force to be reckoned with. I
think this is going to be an amazing breakout role for her.
Oh, absolutely.
Wasn't she on that Disney show with the two dancers? She was a dancer?
Yes. That was the first thing before Casey Undercover.
Undercover and that she did. Yeah, she was a Disney kid. You know, what's really interesting about the careers of these Disney kids is that they, you know, they have to shake things up. They're reaching their 20s, and as a child actor, and you know this, I know this, is that the moment you reach your 20s, you know you have to start all over again.
Yep.
And what do you want to do? How do you want to be perceived as?
Right.
And I think you got to shake things up, like Miley Cyrus did, like Zendaya is doing, you know? I mean,
like Debbie
Britney Spears. All of them.
Debbie Ryan's on Insatiable, same thing.
Yeah.
She's Jessie on,
I mean, Alanis Morissette.
Right.
You know what I mean?
She was a Nickelodeon star,
Yeah. You have to basically, you've got to find the edginess within. Yep. And
show people something completely different.
Completely different. Otherwise, you get stuck in the sort of, I call it like the Molly Ringwald sort of thing, where you're constantly doing these kids' films. And then before you know it, you're like, oh my God, I'm in my late 20s and I'm still playing teens. There's something.
Right. Right.
I don't know. I think
and then nobody wants
to
see you for the other stuff.
There you go. And there's something to be said about aging and looking your age.
Right. Yes.
And Alana, does the show take place in L.A.? Or
the show
takes
place. It's in this fictitious town called Highland. So we really don't know where it is. It's a very spooky little town.
Small town.
Woo.
I love it.
Yeah.
But you shot everything in L.A.?
We shot everything in Los Angeles. Diamond Bar. Who the hell is in Diamond Bar? Diamond Bar. Yeah. We shot just recently in this place that was basically an insane ward.
Oh, my God.
And back in the 20s, legend has it that all of the patients basically ended up like getting together and breaking out of the ward and killing like some of the doctors and everything. Anyway,
oh my God.
Yeah, good times.
Wow.
And and they ended up just becoming homeless. They were never found. So that's where we shot. Ooh!
That's creepy.
What did you read for this role?
I did. I read for everything. I still audition, believe it or not. I'm still knocking down doors and people are like, oh, you shouldn't audition because the offer is probably out to someone else. I don't believe that. Not when you're a character actor. They have to see what you're looking like these days.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's if you're going out for a lead, yes.
Right.
Yes, there probably is some kind of offer out to someone else, but not when you're like the potatoes and the butter on the side.
Also with playing moms too, so much of it revolves around who they've already cast
they're
thinking of casting is, you know, the kids.
There you go. It's absolutely.
Did you have a camera test with the kids or?
Not at all. Nowadays you walk in and you're just put on tape.
Right.
And then it's, because a lot of the times the producers, just like you, we're doing a podcast and you just happen to be in another state. I mean, now everything is downloaded and sent to everyone. Now for testing, for television shows, for everything, for film, you have one shot, you go in, you're filmed, and they cast you from that. That's it.
Yep.
And they can, email it to all of these other producers in other states and countries even. And they're like, oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah.
What was the second actress? Yeah, I liked her.
Right.
Are we all in agreement? Cool. Let's hire her. That sort of a thing.
Yeah, it's gotten to be so much more impersonal in some ways.
Very.
The thing I don't like about it as a director, though, is that I always feel like sometimes there's something to be done in the room. You know what I mean?
Right.
I
could just give that actor a note. That person's got a great look, but they didn't quite hit that beat. But with a tape, you don't have that opportunity.
No.
You know?
And you can only hope that maybe the casting director knows exactly what you want.
Right.
So it's basically you send them, okay, I want this, that they got to have these kind of ingredients.
Right.
Try and they've got to look like this. Try and make it work. And, if it's a really good casting director, they'll be able to do something.
Right.
But I mean, nowadays I bring in props.
Did you really?
Oh yeah. No, I am not fucking.
Give me an
around.
Example. Like, give me an example.
Well, for this audition, I walked in with a glass of fake wine in my hand.
Oh my God. Because
I figured she always had she always has rosé with an ice cube in it. Right. And she's always, snooping in on the girls.
I love it. That's
in their bedrooms
amazing.
With the doors locked.
Wait, so you're in the room with, now is the glass full of a liquid?
Oh, I fill it up with water and I walk in just holding it in my hand, just talking, just as that person. No one cares about who you really are. No, that does not matter. No one gives a shit that you just had a son. No one cares about you, what the last thing you did was. They don't care. They want to cast that role. And if you can, it's your job to floss their brains and to make them think that you know exactly what you are doing.
That's amazing.
So wait a minute. Walk me through this audition because now I'm fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinated. All right. So you walk in the door. The casting is like, hey, Alana. And you're like, with your wine glass as the character.
Well, hold on. Let's go.
Yeah,
let's go back.
You know what? And if they're cool, you have to keep in mind, look, this is Mary Verneau. She's a very hip lady.
Yeah. She cast me in Can't Hardly Wait.
There you go. She is very hip. So she knows exactly what you're doing when you walk in. She's like, oh, okay, she's being the character. This is cool. So you want to to me, it's almost performance art. You want to give them an experience. And whether you get it or not, to me, I always look at it as opportunities to bring in sort of like a whole experience to, and I don't call them auditions anymore. I call them sort of like little parties.
Yeah.
You're invited to a party. Right. Okay. Yeah. What's the theme? The theme is a drunk mom. Ugh, I know what I'm going to come as. I know I'm going to dress. To me, they're almost like, you know, those theme parties.
Yeah.
And if
that's
you, and
great.
If you come in, you know, if it's a Western theme and you come in wearing your fucking cowboy hat and your chaps and you come in, you know, sort of speaking with a twang, I'm going to remember that guest at my party more than anyone else, because you don't want to blend in. You want to go in just, I think your enthusiasm, I'm not the best actor. I know that for damn sure, but I'll be a son of a bitch. And I'm not the most enthusiastic.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? You gotta be enthusiastic. I'm not great. I don't, half of the time I get the accents wrong, whatever, but I'll be damned if I'm not having fun doing it. And I think that's what's more important, almost to me, just as important as, you know, an Oscar winning performance. You know, that's catching lightning.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a casting director shit on your
props?
On everything, on just the way, like, you know, because back in the day, like,
no,
it was sort of faux pas to, like, you know, come, you know, overly dress as the character or bring props or,
well,
you know.
Back in your 20s when people could be nasty to you and get away with it. But when you are in your 30s and in your 40s, they either think of it as insanity and they're being polite and letting you do what you want, or they're like, oh shit, she's fucking committed. She ain't fucking around.
I
like
that.
And then they respect it. But in my 20s, everyone thought I was crazy. And I'll never forget it. This one therapist I went to, I was so upset because my dad had died. I was 19. My dad killed himself. It was a terrible fucking time.
Oh, wow.
And for 10 years, I'd go on auditions and I would see all of my contemporaries getting hired in these really big projects. And I was just grieving. And I thought, I have to go to therapy. There's no other way I can deal with life unless I find out why. You know, he was very depressed. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, his business had gone into Chapter 11 and then eventually became bankrupt. He was, everything about his work defined him. So I had to basically take his legacy and say, I'm not going to allow the business I'm in to break me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'll never forget this one therapist. His name was Robert Lorenz. And he looked at me and he said, I'm going to tell you this only one time, Alana. All of your contemporaries right now are going to be getting really big gigs. He was like, and you won't. He was like, you're not going to be able to really come into your own until you're like in your 30s and your 40s. And I'm sorry about that. He was like, but what happened to you is going to take a long time for you to sort of get over, not exactly get over, but understand. Mm-hmm. And he said, and because it happened to you when you were so young, you're going to have to really, it's going to take you years for you to finally come into your own. And when I finally came into my own, I think I was like maybe 30, 31. And coming into my own for me was the day I realized, oh, I don't give a fuck about what anyone says or thinks or anything. And that was so liberating because the stigma of a suicide in the family is something where I mean, my friends started looking at me and my boyfriend at the time like I was a part of the Addams family.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, I can use that for myself or I can pretend like it doesn't exist. That's the worst thing you can possibly do. You got to talk about it. But I think me becoming a character actress, I never thought I was funny or was weird. But I think my father's death had a lot to do with how my career was defined and is defined now, is playing these people that do have some kind of emotional problems or do have a lot going on or do come from dysfunctional backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, look,
you
life imitates art.
Those are your tools.
Absolutely.
You have that inside. You know how to tap into that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now you tap into it, but you also, you make it real, right, for the viewer, but you also make it in certain roles. I don't know what this role's like, but in certain roles, you take you make it to like almost like a situational comedy, but which makes it even more real because with the suffering or differences, we try to make ourselves laugh or make other people laugh to like stop it from actually showing the pain.
Yeah. And you never, you always want to know that you have given people some kind of escapism or some kind of new awareness of you know, you've shown them some kind of layer of what that part of life is. And, you know, it's not just black and white. There are so many different shades to everything. And you know, and back to coming into a room and coming in with that wine, it's almost showing them this is what it will look like eventually.
Yeah, totally.
And you, but you really have to be prepared. Like, you've got to be off book. What brought me, the first time I decided to really bring props in and to really commit, I had British actor friends. They're always off book when they walk into a room.
Yeah.
I never knew that. But there's something to be said about all these British actors. Why are all these British actors getting hired to do American roles?
Right.
They're prepared, man. They walk in. I mean, one friend of mine, he was like, of course I walk in with props. Like, there's no other way. It's like, it's the first day of rehearsal in my book. And I thought, oh my God.
That's brilliant.
I've got to step up to the plate. And so that's where I was coming from. So yeah. In other words, you know, it's not exactly looking like insanity if all of these, you know, British actors are getting hired.
Uh-huh.
we gotta step up to the plate.
So when you're in the waiting room and you've got your wine glass, are there like other actresses that are just looking at you like, what the fuck is she doing?
I have a big purse and I have it hidden in there.
Okay.
And a little water bottle because I know... For one time I walked in and I had a couple of napkins because I was supposed to be setting a table in a scene. Uh-huh. So I had a couple of napkins with me and this other actress is across from me and I won't name names, but she kind of rolled her eyes and went to the bathroom, came back with some napkins from the paper towels from the bathroom.
No.
Like, bitch, I own you. I mean, because look, it's all nice and adorable and sweet when you're in the waiting room. But at the end of the day, you all want the same. It's
only four one person getting bone, that baby. Job.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it's all funny. About.
So when you say you're memorized, are you bringing the pages in with you?
I usually have some sides. You know, sides are like 10 pages long sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'll cut out all of the dialogue and I'll put it on one sheet of paper.
Oh, okay.
I'll just paste it on one sheet of
paper. Just your lines.
So just my lines, so I just have it right there. Or even, you know, I'll just cut out the scene. Because a lot of the times there's so much expository.
Yes.
And that's you just constantly flipping the pages. Right. I hate that. I hate that. I mean, at one point I had to lick my fingers and turn the pages. I was like, there's got to be an easier way. So Ken Marino, do you know the actor Ken Marino?
Yes.
Yeah.
He had recommended one time, he was just like, Alana. He's like, this is what I do. It was like, I just paste everything on one page. And he's like, it's so much easier.
Oh, that's smart.
Because you're not flipping and you're in the scene and you just have it in your hand. It's
and if you need
thing.
To look down to like for a second, you can.
Yeah. And all of that copying and pasting and you're sort of memorizing it.
Yeah.
It's, you've got to memorize. You
know? I have to memorize completely now. I used to be able to like, read it a couple of times, be pretty good with the words, and just like go straight on in. And I mean, my memory used to be so good to where like I barely needed the pages. Now I have to be forwards, backwards, up and down. It doesn't matter if it's two lines or a monologue.
It's
I have
age,
to be.
Man.
It is.
It's not a pretty thing, man. And, oh my God.
I mean, I'm definitely better prepared.
Yeah.
now that than I was when I was younger, I put a lot more work into it, but I have to.
Well, yeah, and everything was so fresh. You didn't have to worry about a lot of things when you were a kid. What did you have to worry about? Your socks?
Whether I was going to go work out later, like meet up with my friends for some wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, it's you know.
Did you have different directors on Euphoria or was it one director?
There was, I believe, one female director. And Sam did almost all of them.
Amazing.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. He was even directing like second unit.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
He's not effing around with this. This is his vision. This is a keyhole into his brain. And it's a wild one.
Wow.
It's wild.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's cool.
And what were shooting days like? How many hours did you guys work? 14?
Sometimes, I mean, for some, it was sometimes 18. I mean, it was hardcore. I mean, these shot setups are so elaborate. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of the times the shots are just set up and you just walk in and do the scene. So you better damn well have rehearsed it in your head, because there's no time for rehearsals. You just walk in, you do the scene. And so it's like, whoa, let's block it. Nope, it's blocked for you.
Yeah.
You're going to walk in, say the line, and then you're going to cross over at that line. Then you're going to sit down, and then you're going to grab your glass of wine, and then you're going to pour it at this line. Are you ready?
Oh, wow.
Okay, go.
Oh, wow.
So you've got to really.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's choreographed.
Right.
It's choreographed.
Because he had a very specific vision in mind of how he wants it to look.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
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 But it's choreographed to the cameras, not for the actors.
It's choreographed, yes. I mean, you have room to play around with it, but because the way that the angle is and stuff, it's sort of like if you give yourself the freedom to do sort of whatever you want, it's not going to work visually. So you're absolutely right. It's you have to sort of, you know, be aware of the fact that okay, it's this funky Dutch angle and mm-hmm. I can't exactly, you know, mm-hmm. lean back, you know, I have to. And when you look at it, we looked at the playback, it was amazing.
Sure.
It turned out fine. You know, actors walk into a set and they think that they don't know the scene. You know it. You know it. You know, I think half of the reason, you know, crap isn't entirely fantastic when it's done is I think just people just are picking at a scab until it bleeds. The same thing goes with records. The same thing goes with, you know, with films and everything where, oh my God, they're in the editing rooms forever. And, you know, or you're rehearsing until all the funny has disappeared. Have you gotten to that point?
Oh yeah.
How about the testing and the network and stuff? And by the time you do that scene that you auditioned with,
it's like it's so bad. It's so stale. You've gone over it a million times.
Yeah. It's communion wafers. Yeah,
totally. Communion wafers.
So that has to sort of make it hard though as an actor, because you have to be technical on top of being the actor and the character.
Yeah. And luckily for me, I'm always at the dinner table saying something stupid to the girls. You know what I mean? So I'm just there. I'm like Archie Bunker. I'm either in front of the TV saying something nasty while they're walking out, or they're coming in, where were you? You know, that kind of a thing. And, or I'm at the dinner table sitting in one spot. So I was lucky, but these kids, oh my God. Hunter Schaefer is in it. And she's just absolutely wonderful. She plays a transgender character who's becomes best friends with Rue. And dance sequences, the running scenes, they're at a carnival.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everything, a lot of these things are done in slow-mo. And, you know, I mean, to me, it's a very much like a music video.
Right.
Is it narrated or is it just?
It is narrated. You hear her voice. I mean, and it's, you know, everything is done through her POV, but it's the POV of an addict who's kind of in denial about a lot of things. So it's very interesting to hear her like point of view on you know, different households. You go, every single episode is basically, you know, the backstory of one of her friends in high school.
Uh-huh.
And why she's turned out the way she has and stuff.
Oh, I can't wait to see
this. It's really interesting. It's Orange is the New Black in that regard.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
I love that.
Find out how did these girls get here?
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
So you guys wrapped the season already?
We did. We wrapped the season as of like a week ago. It's crazy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And you know, everything's ready to go. I think the premiere is on the 3rd. And the first pilot is the lightest. Out of all of the shows, it's mm-hmm. very light compared to what happens. A lot of the scripts I couldn't finish. I couldn't finish them because I just couldn't stomach what I was reading.
Oh my gosh.
It was that tough. I was like, I can't believe kids do this.
Is it based on a true story or is it?
It's from the mad scientist mind of Sam Levinson. I mean, I can't believe this is his first show. It's nuts.
Well, he's Barry Levinson's son, so it, you know, Apple, I guess, doesn't far too far.
Yeah, and he struggled with addiction when he was younger. He's very open about it.
Okay.
And
is he in his 30s?
I believe he's in his mid to late 30s. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, and he's writing his story, and I'm sure a lot of the people who he met along the way, you know, his journey as a kid.
Wow.
So it's spooky. I mean, if anything, it sort of wakes you up that you can't believe this kind of stuff is going on. But it is. And, you know.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
I'm just curious, like, from the outside of all this that's going on.
Yeah.
What's the hair and makeup trailer like?
Oh, my God.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're doing all this, like, dark. It just seems like insanity.
Best question right. ever. I mean, there. Look, hair and makeup. Sam wanted, I think what he wanted to do is, he was like, I want the kids to pause and say, what do they do to their eyes? Wow, what is that? What do they do to their hair? What is it? You know, so I think it's very trend-setting what's going on in this. I mean, the kids, look, they're from these very small towns. They have a lot of time on their hands to be creative with how they look. The wardrobe, I mean, just the makeup, the costumes, it's, they had basically a collage of what each character was going to look like yeah. throughout the series. So it's really interesting. Hunter, especially, the costumes and the makeup and hair changes that she's gone through is just, it's kind of jaw dropping. It's wild.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like the arena at 4 o'clock in the morning on Santa Monica. Remember the arena?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Just yeah. a lot of glitter, a lot of ribbons, a lot of barrettes.
Barrettes.
Oh, you know, God. The arena back in the 90s. That was my place.
It takes place present day?
Present day. Yeah. It's happening right now. So everything is about social media and finding your identity and just a lot of sex and violence and drugs.
Wow, man.
A lot of drugs.
Wow, man. Okay, so that's coming out, and then yeah. you know, speaking of social media, Alana, you have a lot of followers. For Thank someone you. Who says that she doesn't really like all the social media, you really have a fan base.
Guide to Divorce. Thank you very much. I have two people following me. And then all of a sudden, like, woo, all right, let's party. But I you know, it's yeah, two people, those two followers. And I think you're still following me. Henry, Gladys, I love you, man. I love you guys.
Okay, so Alana, that means like when this airs, you've got to post. Do you understand?
Oh,
that,
yes,
right?
yes, yes, yes. I promise. I promise you guys.
I mean, we had to like text Alana like 3 times. Okay, so your episode's up.
But I'm old. Like, you have to understand, I'm not very savvy. Like, I saw all of these requests and on my message board, and I thought, requests? What is that? Why are they asking to be my friend? You can follow me anyway. I don't understand why they have to ask to follow me. It's an open account. It's not private. So I had like
are
all
you
of
sure?
these requests for like a year. And I did, and then I finally clicked on them. They were messages from people.
Oh,
yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Got it.
No, I've seen the same thing. I don't know how to do Instagram. I don't understand the Instagram.
Oh, Instagram is so much fun. Twitter, I don't understand. It gets really nasty. So I'm a little scared of Twitter, but Instagram I really love. I really love Instagram.
I love
it's
that
fun.
Picture.
I like pictures.
You posted of your son sitting on that beautiful old car.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome.
That's a Riviera that my husband's father owned.
Oh wow.
That he took, and he takes very good care of that.
Oh,
Riviera.
It's really cute. Yeah.
Do you think your son? You think your son's going to go into entertainment?
You know, look, I let him, you know, bring his guitar in the shower last night.
Great.
It's one of those PBS little ukuleles. It wasn't going to get ruined, but it wasn't an electric guitar. Look, I'm not a schmuck. But you know, I let him hold it while I was washing him. So I don't know. He tends to go everywhere holding this little guitar.
Oh my God. And it's got the musical bug.
I don't know what it is. It might be Coco. He watched Coco. And so I think he was influenced by that little boy with the guitar. And so he's been walking around holding that guitar wherever he goes.
That's
it's
so funny.
Does he play it? Never. Just hold it.
And do you think you'll have another?
No. Oh, one and done. I can't believe how expensive children are. You don't understand. Like, I just can't wrap my head around how expensive it is to have a child.
Well, don't you go to gifting suites or get free stuff? Christine, that's all she does every week.
Is that
that's
what you take
not
advantage
what
of?
What are you talking
well, the
about?
The only way I find out about gifting
that's
suites
not true
is if I have
at
a publicist
all.
That I pay monthly. So technically, I am paying for those gifts, like $4,500 a month.
Oh,
so
God,
it's expensive.
No. Yeah, you're just lying to the people, Alaa. That's not.
No, I'm not. Christine, show her how to do it, like to get the
what
free
gifting
stuff.
We're going to talk about this when we go off the air. I think it's
gifting
important.
Sweets. You're an idiot.
Well, whatever it is, or just go to the, you know, go to the companies you like, send them a note.
No, listen.
Send you stuff.
If you want to be, I know what you're saying. If you are
I feel
a working
uncomfortable
mom
doing that kind of stuff, you guys. I feel like really.
If you're
Alaa
working,
Ubot called me and like asked for something.
If you're a working mom, it is expensive to have children because the childcare is like sometimes you wonder is this job even worth it?
I
at
asked
this
my
point?
Accountant. I said, "Is childcare you know a write off?" And he said, "Well, if they're willing to fill out a W-2,
yes, it depends on how you pay them."
Which is why if you're saying you know an illegal immigrant to hire, they have to be off the books. That you have to give them cash. You know, there's no other way around it. You don't want them to fill out a W-2 and have to pay taxes on it.
Well, yeah, a lot of child care providers, even, I mean, illegal status notwithstanding, don't want to fill out a W-2.
No! Because you have to pay a lot of taxes on
you
it.
You do.
Like, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
And for a lot of people, that's just their side gig, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, and so, I have to ask them right off the bat, are you cool filling out a W-2 at the end of the day? Can I use you as a right? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Or no.
Right.
And most of them are fine, and then they cuss you out in their cars after after a day's work. Damn that alone.
Oh, Alaa, it is always a pleasure to have you on
so
the pod.
So much fun. I love talking to you guys.
I like making
talking.
Some really strong coffee. As you said, when we started this thing, I'm like, God, this coffee's strong. You're like, I feel like I'm doing drugs.
Yeah.
and just shooting the shit.
I really love shooting the shit, Alaa, before
you leave, Alaa.
Yeah.
Just tell us why you love talking to us.
I'll tell you why I love talking to you guys.
Go ahead.
You have this... really interesting way of breaking things down in the business that not a lot of you have a lot of insight and you guys are very, very articulate and you, there's just really good jujus. I never feel like I have to perform. I never feel like I'm being judged. And, you know, I share things with you guys that not a lot of people, you know, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm just talking. You make me feel like I'm just talking to two people when in fact I'm probably talking to about maybe a couple hundred thousand. But it's just a very private, fun conversation amongst adults. And I love it. I can talk about it.
Yeah, I know. When we had you on last time with Nicole, we had the reason it took us so long to air it, and I'm just going to be candid about this, is that it was so in the room, it felt so fucking crazy that I was like, how are we going to edit this episode? Because it was a lot of, but it turned out to be one of the funniest episodes ever.
I was really dying laughing.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I was listening to it.
It
had just come out, and my husband and I were on our way to Mexico, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna download the episode. I'm just going to listen through it, you know, when
yeah, because we were avoiding it like the plague.
We were nervous. We were nervous, and I was listening to it. I'm laughing out loud. My husband keeps looking at me like, what are you listening to? And I kept shaking my head. It was so funny.
Nicole,
so good.
Nicole, man. She is.
There were some gems in that one.
Yeah.
Some real gems.
At my bachelorette party, we were in Solvang. We went wine tasting, and I lost her. I lost her for like a day and a half. We couldn't find her anywhere. This was before The Hangover and all that. All those children
Where
came
was
out
she?
With that film. She just came hopping and she was like, Lonnie, I was across the street at the hotel bar the whole time. I was like, my God, we went to the casino. We went to the Saddle Ranch place. We went to that little Western, like, you
Mavericks.
Know, karaoke place.
Oh, yeah.
We couldn't find you anywhere.
I went there after my wedding.
She was across the street the whole time at some like Marriott bar.
Oh, my God.
Just hanging out there all by herself.
Nicole has hysterical. Some, I feel like she has some interesting times in Solvang. There are a lot of stories about my wedding.
Your wedding, I mean, the fact that she came out of that wedding alive, I have no idea.
No, she's a cat, you guys.
I know, she is. She is a cat.
She's one of the greats.
I know. We got to get her back on too because now she's in a new relationship. We got to talk about that. She's dating a piano man.
We say that every time. She's always in a new relationship.
Don't jinx
it. Talk to her.
Don't jinx it. This one's actually really good, I think.
No, I think he's gonna walk her down the aisle, you guys.
Really?
Oh yeah. I think they're gonna get married.
Oh God, I gotta be at that wedding.
Oh yeah, I've gotta be at that wedding.
It's gonna be good.
Can you imagine the lamps at the wedding?
So good. So good.
Oh my God. She'll sell it to you for $40, just like your Mueller hat.
No, apparently for a lie, they're like $250.
Are they really?
She really went high price on those lamps. She's got to lower those prices.
She still owes me a fucking lamp. She promised me a lamp.
She owes me a lamp too. She's going to make one for my son. You know what I think?
You
got to
go over there and pick it out. You got to like.
No, she reads your face after she says, I made you a lamp. And a lot, if you don't, like, if you're not just smiling like Chuck E. fucking cheese, she's like, oh, he doesn't want one. I get it.
Oh, no, I want my lamp. I want my lamp because.
I do too.
I really think eventually this Nicole Tom, like you said earlier about like 30s and 40s, how your career's changed. I think she's, and I'm not like even exaggerating. I think she's a future Oscar winner, and it sounds crazy, but she's so talented to me, and no one gets how crazy and talented she is.
Oh, I know.
I need to have a lamp so that when she is, I can eBay it.
Well, I'm really excited that Cameron Diaz retired. Because yes. I feel like she could maybe take those roles from Cameron and also Jennifer Coolidge.
Agreed.
To me,
agreed.
I think Jennifer Coolidge, once she retires, Nicole will be able to. I think we're all in line. Everyone's in line. You know what I mean? Everyone is in line.
Definitely.
You know, I'm convinced.
Just make sure you bring your wine glasses and your napkins.
Bring your wine glasses
and your large carpet bag.
Big giant bag.
I got to figure this out because I'm always scared of props.
Well, I think it's all changing. Then don't bring them. I'm serious.
No, I'm scared of props in an audition. When I'm working,
don't
I love props.
Don't bring them to the audition. If you're scared of it, F the props. No props. Because that's all you're going to be thinking about is, oh my God, they think I'm crazy.
I mean, I'm like thinking like, oh, I had an audition where there's a payphone. I could have brought like a fake payphone to the audition.
Look, I find it to look. If you would have brought in a little like actual like you know rotary dial phone,
yeah,
I would have been very charmed by it.
Yeah.
All right.
Seriously.
Well, good luck with
good luck
the
Atlanta,
rest of your stay there in the Dirty South.
Can we take a picture with the phone and with, you guys?
Yes, we can take a picture.
Yes,
yes.
Okay.
I'm very attracted to you these days, Alaa.
I like the
growth. You're just looking hot.
Salt and pepper hair, salt and pepper beard.
Oh my God! It's my husband.
He's morphing into your husband.
You are morphing into my husband.
It's so weird as people get older. I feel like Harrison Ford is looking a little like Tom. Is it Tom Brokaw? They're kind of like
they're all looking like their dads.
They're starting to cross section a little bit for me.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
I'm okay with it.
I'm fine with it too. It's okay. I like the growth, sweetie. How does it feel to have all your hair?
I'm afraid to say anything about it because as soon as I do, I'm afraid that's when it's going to start.
Let's not talk about it. We're not going to talk about it.
Because my grandfather on my mom's side is bald, completely bald.
I think you would have already started going bald.
I don't know.
That was going
to
happen.
It does feel thinner, but it's not. I'm not losing it.
No, you're not.
I have a lot of hair, but I'm growing it long again.
Oh, that's you're going to go. Are you going to and stop relaxing, and you're going to go back curly?
I stopped relaxing.
Oh,
completely. I stopped relaxing.
It's like white, amazing.
I like it.
Yeah,
looks good.
I would grow it out. You'll look like Iggy Pop.
Yeah, I'm throwing it full out. I'm gonna be like Karl Lagerfeld.
Lovely.
Oh God.
Lovely. I'll take it.
Well, Alaa, tell us where we can find you.
Oh, you can find me at Alaa Ubach on Instagram. I'm always on Insta. Actually, I'm not always on Instagram, but I am on Instagram every once in a while, like once a week. And I do post really fun things. I promise I'll make you laugh. And you can find me on Euphoria on HBO. Coming out on June 16th.
Woo! You can find me. I'm Christine Lakin. You can find me at Yo Lakin.
And I'm Alec Led. Don't ask. On all platforms.
And Rob, our lovely engineer.
You can find me at para.jpg on Instagram. Please keep harassing @para. I really need that account. Thank you. I appreciate all your help.
And you can find us at Worst Ever Podcast and Worst Ever PC. If you want to email us, it's worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. Alana, thanks so much for being on the
Thank
show.
Thank you for having me, you guys. I love you. I don't love you. I love you. Too. You.
Yes. All right, we'll hear you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, sweetheart.